Hi, thank you very much, Liz, for stepping in last minute. I do know how it feels. So I feel I should start off with a couple of apologies, really. Firstly, if you're expecting Roland today, then he's not very well, so sorry about that. Secondly, if you are here today thinking, you know what, it's not a Christmas service yet at St. John's. This is just a normal service that we're following through. So you're here thinking that you're not going to hear about Christmas? Yeah, I'm really sorry about that as well. Roland's not very well. I was asked to step in. We're actually having our carol service at Bixley Farm this afternoon. So Mark has asked me to do that service here. And I'm trying to link it in a little bit to the reading that we've already had. So you'll have to bear with me as I'm going through this, because some of it is I'm making it up as I go. Right. To start off, a question. And I'm not asking for a show of hands or any actual answer to this. But the question's going to be to start off with, Who gets stressed out at Christmas? I know I do, without any shadow. I see a few hands coming up. And I know the stress levels, as an example, in my household at this time of year, are always slightly higher, shall we say, than normal. And whilst I'm on that, as a bit of advice, you know, I'm nowhere near the perfect husband. But if your wife or your partner, girlfriend, whoever says to you, she's obviously stressed and panicking about what's going on and all this sort of stuff, and she says to you to do something, do not ever, under any circumstance, go, "It'll be all right, calm down, dear." Never. She's shaking her head, she knows I've done it before. But you know what, with everything that goes on around at Christmas, within the church, at work, and your home life, all the planning, all the organising, the meetings, all the sorting of stuff, the buying of stuff, and all the arranging, when you sit down and look just at what we do at Christmas, it's scary how much time we spend on it. But I was thinking, why do we get so stressed? Why do we get ourselves in such a panic about what goes on at Christmas? Now I think, and I think a lot of it, if not most of it, is because we put ourselves through all this. We put all this onto us because we want to make other people happy. You know, we make arrangements to go and see all of our family, because you know by seeing them that will bring them joy and that would make them happy. And we want to give them that happiness because we love them. We cook a crazy amount of food over Christmas, don't we? That Christmas week, whether it be Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, whatever, we cook a crazy amount of food for everyone that we have visiting us or to take somewhere, because we want to give them that food. We want to make them happy. We want to make them happy, these people, because we love them. You know, we have countless parties and social events and things at this time of year, don't we? Where we socialise so much more maybe than we normally would. And again, you organise those things, you arrange those things because you want to spend time with these people, because you love them, you want to see them happy, and they bring you happiness. And presents and gifts. Oh my days, gifts. We buy people gifts, don't we? We give people gifts. And again, it's that old saying, isn't it? You know, I know it's true for me now, it's much more the giving of the gifts. It's much more important than the receiving of. And why do we give these gifts? We give these gifts to people that we love because we want to see them happy, because we love them. We put ourselves through everything we do at Christmas, all of that stress and all that pressure and all that stuff, for the people that we love. And you might see where I'm going with this. That's the reason, and that's exactly what God does for us at Christmas. You see, God so loves us, he so loves the world, that he gave us his one and only Son. And that whoever believes in his Son, whoever believes in Jesus, shall not perish and shall have eternal life. That's John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. When God sent Jesus, his Son, to earth, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew exactly that by the birth, life, and death of Jesus, it was going to be a horrific time for Jesus. He knew what this was going to lead into. But because he loves us so much, he did it anyway. And I think that's right at the very heart of what Christmas is about. Yes, obviously it is the birth of Jesus, but why was he born? Why was Jesus born at all? Why did he come to earth? It was so that he could die. You know, we all here, this might come as a shock, we all here will die. We will all die because we were born. Jesus is the only man in history who was born with the purpose that he could die. He was born so that he could die. You see, we put ourselves through the stress and the pressure and everything that goes on with Christmas for the ones that we love. And it's so easy to get to the stage where we think that that's what Christmas is about, making other people happy. We go through all that stress, all that pressure, all that busyness for the people that we love. But Jesus is like, no. If you want to see what love is, he's born, he comes to earth, he lives a life, and he dies a horrific death. He then goes through death and comes out the other side. And because of that love and because of that action, anyone who believes in him, shall not perish and shall have eternal life. And that's why we should be celebrating Christmas, of course. We know that, Jesus being born. But we have to remember that he was born so that he can die. There is no purer example of love than what Jesus has done for us. There is no greater sacrifice than what Jesus has done for us. There is no greater gift, there is no greater gift that can ever be given than that of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And as he writes in his letter to Ephesians as well, chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift from God." It's not a gift or one of the many gifts, it is the gift from God. That act of love of Jesus being born, the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of Jesus Christ giving us salvation, and everlasting life through him, is why we get together. That's why we get together and sing these songs. We are glorifying him by singing thanks. We're glorifying him by giving him praise. And we are here to worship him. See, it's like we heard in the reading from Liz a few moments ago. It's a moment of great joy. Jesus being born is a moment of great joy and happiness. And the angels are praising God and they're saying, "Glory to God in the highest of heaven." See, when I picture that, I don't see sort of a few angels sort of milling around going, "Yay, Jesus is here. Woo." No. Their whole being is glorifying and worshipping God. They're radiating love for God the Father. And however enthusiastic I can get about how I say that, it's nothing compared to how, well, the last Saturday when the Cantus Firmus guys were singing about it. I love this. Imagine you're a shepherd. So you've got all these angels. All these angels have just appeared. You're a shepherd out in the middle of nowhere looking after your sheep. An angel appears and tells you of the birth of Messiah, and then thousands of angels appear, and they're all glorifying God. The angels then leave, they go to heaven, and the shepherds, and I love this verse, and it really does depend on how you read it when you get to this verse, and the shepherds say in verse 15, they say, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see what this thing is that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." Now, as you read that line, you could read it of these shepherds all standing there going, "I suppose we better go to Bethlehem then, hadn't we? Let's go and see what it's all about. We've had all these angels appear. Let's go and have a look." No, I don't think it was like that at all. It's like, "You what? We've just seen thousands of angels. Right, leave the sheep. We're off," sort of thing. They drop everything. They go. They drop everything. They go. And then they come up. They come bursting into Bethlehem, and they come into a scene like this. Now, this isn't an actual picture, so that you know, of the actual birth, but this is an artist's representation of it. But you know what? I only saw this for the first time a couple of days ago, and I picture this as just before the shepherds have come in, just before the shepherds and all the excitement and everything else all starts going. So before there are any gifts, there is just Mary lying there. She's exhausted from the birth of the baby. Joseph just sitting there contemplating and just thinking through what all this means. He's overwhelmed by what's going on. And the baby in the crib that's just going to change everything. I mean, just look at that. Isn't how far away from Christmas that we celebrate now is that? When we see all the lights, all the everything that goes on, the lights, the hustle and bustle, the dramas and everything else, that is what Christmas is about, that moment there. We have to remember when we have Christmas, why we're having Christmas. We have to remember to glorify God for the birth of Jesus as we go through Christmas. Strip everything else away that is what Christmas has become now, and that's what Christmas is. See, the shepherds, they received the first announcement that Jesus was born. So the shepherds were the first ones in the field to hear the announcement that Jesus had been born. They dropped everything. Without a moment's hesitation, off they went. And that same announcement, that exact same announcement, that same message, the same good news is still available, and it's still as relevant today as it was 200 years ago. I mean, yeah, we can't go 2,000 years ago. We can't go to Bethlehem to see the newborn baby. But you can read about it. You can read about it through the living words of God that's in the Bible. It's just as valid. It's just as important. It's just as relevant. You see, if you're here today and you don't consider yourself a Christian, or you're not sure what you think and what you don't think, if you're here today and you've not come to see who, and you haven't seen who this Messiah is yet, I urge you, Christmas is the perfect time just to come and have a look to see what it's all about, just like those shepherds did all those years and years ago. And actually, if you look at the first reading that we had today, the two readings we've had today, in Luke 2, the angels appear to the shepherds and they say, go and have a look at this newborn Messiah. And then Jesus himself, 30 years later, in the first reading, he says the same thing in the reading that Roger read out, chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus himself says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Just as the angels did, he's giving Father the God, he's giving God the Father praise and worshipping him. Jesus then says in verse 28, come to me all who are weary and burdened. It's the same message, come and have a look, go and have a look who this Jesus guy is. And the Bible is full, time and time and time again, of that invitation to come and see who this guy is. John chapter 7, verse 37. Jesus himself again says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Come to the Lord. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires to drink freely from the waters of life, come. So if you're here today and you wouldn't necessarily consider yourself a Christian, consider this an early Christmas present. This is the Gospel of John. There are four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. They're their accounts of Jesus' life, his birth, his life and his death and resurrection. There's a load of these at the table at the back. Please just take one, have a look at it, read through it and see what it's all about. But if you are here today and you are a Christian, we can also look to the shepherds for examples in there. We can see what the shepherds did. See, the shepherds were called. They went and saw Jesus. Just like if you're a Christian, that's what you've done. You've been called, you've gone to see who this Jesus is. The shepherds then don't keep it all to themselves. They don't keep it shtum. They don't keep it all internal and don't go and tell anyone about it. No. So in verse 14, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told. Again, at the back of the church, if you're here today as a Christian, there are these ones. Little to and from written on the front. Now, I don't know if these are free or not, but just take one anyway. I don't work here. It's fine. I haven't. Just take some of these. It's the Gospel of John. Just a little book like that. So, you know, if you're getting a Christmas card for someone who's not a Christian, maybe just chuck one of these in. Help yourself. Please, take one. We've just remembered, and we've just looked at, and we've just considered that during the Christmas period, it is about the birth of Jesus that's important. And we have to give God glory for it. And if you are going to be at Bixley Farm, actually, this afternoon, we're about to go on, after I finished rallying on, we're actually going to go and sing the magnificent song, my absolute favourite, which is Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which I had to rewrite a lot of it because I was talking about that. But now we're going to sing two songs in a minute or two, and they actually really fit quite well in with that picture. Firstly, we're going to be singing in a minute or two about wanting to be in the presence of the Lord, to sit at his feet and to be surrounded by his love. And there is a line that just is perfect for Christmas in this song. To rest in your presence, not rushing away. See, if you see that, if you were there and you walked into that, wouldn't you just want to rest, just stay there just for a moment and just rest in that picture? So as we sing these songs in a minute or two, just try and keep that image in your mind's eye. And then after that, we're going to be singing about bowing down to the Lord. Again, keep the picture in the mind. Imagine, as I say, walking into that picture there, that's where Jesus has just been born in that manger. There is a line in the second song we're going to sing as well, which is, and it's this, you are all I need, it's your face I seek, in the presence of your light we bow down. So picture it, when you're singing that you're in the presence of the Lord, you've just walked into that, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to bow down. There is the Son of God as a baby, you're going to bow to him. And as we sing, remember that when we're singing, we're singing and worshipping our God in heaven. You see, when we have to remember, when the musicians are playing, when the singers are singing, it's not just to put on a good show. It isn't so that we get a gold medal with God or anything at all like that. We're singing these words, we're playing these instruments for God. We're worshipping him, we're glorifying him through all of it. We're worshipping God because his is the kingdom. His is the power and his is the glory. And that's the same 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. It is the same now and it will be the same forever and ever. Amen.